you grab it, you hear him say, like, essentially, what the hell, in Hebrew, and try to pull away and put his hand on your hand to, like, stop you from taking the gun, but you're faster than him. What do you want to do?
I'm going to pull the gun and shoot him in the nuts.
He doesn't, don't even give him a chance to react. All right, cool. Yeah, so you yank the gun out of the holster, point it at him. He can't see you yet, and then you just want to pull the trigger?
I'm going to shoot him in the fucking nuts, yeah.
Okay, all right. So, the first shot, because you're shooting from below, so you just, like, yeah, blast him in his crotchal region. He staggers back, falls into your wheelchair, bleeding profusely through his camo pants. And he looks at you like this, like, sudden, like, terrified panic pain, like, what the fuck just happened to me, look? What do you want to do?
I'm going to finish him off.
You just shoot him again?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right. So the gunshots in the room are, like, the loudest shit you've ever heard because it's so quiet in here and you're, like, trying so hard not to get noticed. But, yeah, just, like, bang, bang. And he, like, the wheelchair rolls back and taps the wall and he's just, like, bleeding and he's totally dead. And his shoulder mic thing, his, like, radio keeps, like, squawking and being, like, repeating. Someone is repeating a message to him. They're trying to get him to, like, come back and, like, say
couldn't
something.
Couldn't she just have held down the trigger for fully automatic weapon?
Those weapons come special.
Yeah, actually, you don't even, you just shoot him in the nuts and then just drag the shots all the way up.
It's like the Judge Dredd gun, man, obviously.
Fully automatic.
It's a club, so you shoot all the way around him first. Yeah, so he's dead, but his radio is, like, going off. What do you want to do?
How close was I? Let me rephrase that. How close was I to figuring out where the three betraying assholes are?
You could probably finish, it depends, like, you could finish the job and then run, but, like, any amount of time before leaving this space is going to be a risk, right?
All right, yeah. I think I'm going to take the gun and go back to my room.
Oh, okay. All right. So he's, like, bled all over your wheelchair.
This is a fucking hospital. I'll find another wheelchair.
Well, you're all hepped up on adrenaline now. You could probably walk back.
Okay. Well, but they'll be like, where's the wheelchair? So I have to replace it.
Well, there were other wheelchairs, like, in the room you were in.
Okay. Then that's fine. Then they won't miss it. I'm going back and I am sort of just going to go back like nothing happened and I'll have a gun.
So you're just going to run back to your room?
Yep.
Okay. All right, so we see you, like, take off, and what's...
I got a scoots here. What's
and
up,
so what,
buddy?
What's left when we...
Yeah, yeah. Swan song.
When we pan away is the dead guard, and he's illuminated by the monitor with all the CCTV stuff, because you still didn't turn the monitor off, we, you stupid, stupid man. So, in the meantime... So you three, your friend comes back, the guy that was here before,
right,
the agent.
If I don't see you, I'll be.
Yeah.
And so he comes back and he's got a remote basically with him, and he points it at the window, hits it, and you get a feed from what looks like an operating room. It's pretty grainy. And he apologizes. He says, I had to string the feed together out of bits and pieces. The tech here is terrible. Our comms equipment is having a hell of a time. Plus radiation on the planet. Anyway, that's it there. And he, like, takes a step back. And so it's a shot from almost directly above. You can see a table. There's someone on the table, but they're covered in a sheet. There's like an opening at the top. And there's doctors, like, kind of moving in and out, and it's all in black and white, and they're, like, putting instruments into, like, pans, and, like, the whole ER thing, like, you can just kind of see that.
Do I recognize this room?
It looks just like an old-timey operating theater.
It doesn't look like, you know, a blood and gore spattered holding cell that I was recently...
No, the room does not trigger you.
Okay.
What part of the body are they operating on?
It's a cranial surgery. Yeah.
Can I take a perception check or something like that to see if I...
Definitely, yeah, if you want to just kind of eyeball the footage.
Catch you on to anything? Let's see.
So difficulty is 8.
That's like
the base to kind of notice any unusual details.
What would I roll that off of?
It's 2d6 plus your intelligence, plus if you have the perception skill trained, you get to add that.
I do have a 0, so I guess just 2d6 then.
Yeah.
Nailed
nice.
It.
Nice.
Okay. There's something like funny, like the image is, the video is like glitchy in places, like it'll freeze for a second and then catch up. Yeah, it's like watching a bad YouTube stream, like it keeps like jittering and there's like, there's no audio, yeah, there's something that's put you off about it. You don't know maybe enough about like video or do you mean, do you have medicine or tech medical?
No.
Okay. So yeah, hard to say. But something is definitely off about this footage. Something gives you a weird feeling.
I guess as we're watching it, I'm just like, Victor, can... What? Is that a foot they're operating on? That's what I see. Can you look at that a little bit better?
Victor would like to use his medical skill to see, you know, what's going on and what kind of operation they're performing.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, looks like brain surgery of some kind.
Is the guy still in the room?
So the equipment, yeah. Yeah, he's standing respectfully back from you, but he's just sort of watching sweat.
So, with such low tech here, you guys are capable of performing a brain surgery on a person with MES, is that correct?
He says, we can't operate on the problem, but we can deal with the symptoms that it's causing. Like I said, at best, we're buying Miss Pick a few weeks to live.
You know, I fix him with a calculating look. Maybe having some food, having a drink has awoken Kovacs a little bit. And I say, can you give me a rundown of exactly what's going on with Miss Piani?
He says, I don't know personally. I'm overseeing this, this operation. It's all under the... She's under the care of a Dr. Abramowitz, a local MD of some kind, a neuroscientist, I think. Obviously, her credentials are not up to speed with the rest of the sector, but I'm assured she's the best that we have to offer.
Very dramatic. Very dramatically, I literally just interrupt the two of them, and I go up and grab the man almost by the collar. And I just look him dead in
his big space lapels.
And I'm trying to persuade him to let Victor into the room to help in the operation. And I'm just like,
because you're like, he's a doctor.
Yeah, I'm just like, sir, this man's the best doctor I've known. I've seen him pull. He's had his hand in my asshole multiple times, sir. And I trust him with my life. Please let him in that room and let him save Piani. For the love of God. Yeah.
Make a persuade check, and I'll give you a +1 because that's like it's a pretty good idea if you can convince him that he's like medical doctor.
So that's a +3.
Yeah, rock and roll.
And I'm gonna roll bad. Nope, 9.
Okay. So he definitely is like he's struggling with the idea, and then seems to resign himself to something. Like you can see that look of like almost defeat where he's just like. Okay, it's gonna go this way, is it? All right. Okay, and he's like, fine.
Thank you so much, sir.
You two, and he gestures to Higgs and security. He's like, you two need to stay here. He looks at Victor. He's like, Dr. Kovacs, if you'll come with me.
I say, Sakarian comes too.
He shakes his head. He's like, there's no way that's going to happen. You don't need him. We have plenty of people to help you in the theater.
I just stand up and I smile.
With your friend.
And I say, Sakarian comes too. And I'm doing a persuade.
Okay.
With his missing teeth.
Yeah, this one's going to be a little more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh!
That.
Bam!
Okay, all right. So he says, he's like, fine. I just need to let them know you're coming. And he says something into his, like, lapel mic. and then is like looks at Higgs, and you get Higgs, you get this look, and I don't know, like, you've definitely gotten this look from people before, where he's like, well, I guess Higgs is my only option now. It's like, well, like, okay.
When he does that, sure. So I see that look, and I give him the slow zoom in look that happens in movies, where it's just like, yes.
It's like, yeah.
It's the Jack Nicholson, from As Good As It Gets, where he's just nodding in agreement.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess he'll go with Plan H. So he says to the two of you, to Sakari and Coax, he's like, all right, we'll take you to get prepped. And gestures for you to head down the hall.
Please save her.
I head down the hall.
Okay, all right. So he's behind you.
So is there cutlery with the food?
yeah, but it's like hospital cutlery, so there's like a plastic spork.
Okay, so no knives or anything?
No. You can try to spork this guy to death if you want to.
No, that I suppose I grab nothing.
Okay.
Like, yeah, I could do that.
okay, cool. So, so you guys head down the hall.
You know what? No, I grab, I'm going to try to grab one of the turkey drumstick bones.
Okay, still with the sharp bones. All right, so you're gonna stealthily put a bone up your sleeve.
You notice yep. There's one on the table that's been picked clean. As if he knew that you were going to know.
It has Higgins' teeth marks all over it.
Yeah, I carved Higgs and my teeth. Higgs, heart, Mr. S.
Slayer carved into it with a knife. Yeah. Okay, yeah, you want to just find like a sharp object, like a piece of turkey bone or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a turkey drumstick bone, yeah.
Cool, yeah, okay. And you secrete something away in your sleeve,
probably. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the two of you are led out into the hall, and he's having like a conversation in Hebrew on his mic with somebody. Like you can only hear him talking, and he's talking quietly. And he's like, they're on the third floor. The elevator is just this way. I just have to have them restore power to the elevator. This facility is, it's complicated, but. Please, this way. And he kind of, like, gestures for you to head that direction.
How is his demeanor? Does he seem more and more nervous?
He's
or is he
super nervous, yeah. You get the impression that the person on the other end of the conversation is, like, putting some pressure on him, too. That's like, what? Like, what the fuck's going on? And he's, like, trying to explain something to them.
Okay. I pick up on this, and I walk very close to him.
Okay.
With the intent, just so we're clear, Adam, is I'm picking up on this nervousness. I think that we've called him on a bluff, and my suspicion is he's going to try to have us killed, so I'm going to get as close to him as possible to get my hands on him.
Okay, all right. So you come out into a kind of like a junction area where there's four hallways, and there's a what looks like a like one of those big, kind of, not a cargo elevator, but like a freight elevator where they would wheel gurneys and stuff so they could bring bodies down to the morgue. And when he gets there, there's like a light that's on inside the elevator, and the elevator panel is lit up. He hits the button, it opens the door, and he says to you, he's standing outside the elevator still, and he gestures to the elevator, and he says, there'll be a nurse waiting for you when you arrive.
He wants us to walk in the elevator?
Yeah.
I go, oh, please, show us the way. We shouldn't be by ourselves.
He says, I can't leave Higgins there unguarded.
Literally.
He shakes his head, and he's like, no, really, I have to be getting back. Please. And he looks at Victor like, come on, help me out here. Like, aren't
you
in charge?
Is it just him and the two of us?
Yes.
I hold out my hand, and I say, thank you for your assistance. You know, like, I'm going to shake his hand.
Okay. He looks at you like, I'm not touching you. You're gross.
No, I've washed my hands now.
Yeah,
I wiped them on the cloth.
No, he kind of just like takes an awkward half step back. You can hear his like wingtips click on the linoleum floor.
There's a moment of tension here, I guess. He says, step on this elevator. They'll be right upstairs.
Yeah, there's this awkward like, okay, I'm giving you what you wanted. Go ahead and take it, please.
I kind of go, you know, I haven't trusted elevators in a long time, especially in a low-tech world like this. Where's the stairs? I'd like to take the stairs.
He points to a stairwell. He says it's several floors. The elevator will be more convenient, but if you'd like to take the stairs, you're welcome to.
Oh, thanks. And before he finishes, I just walk in through the door and start going up the stairs.
Okay. Victor, he gestures towards the stairs. It's like, after you.
I look at the stairs and then I look back to him and I say, thanks. I go up the stairs.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I mean, like he said, it's you know, like 6 or 7 floors before you get to where you need to go. So you're climbing up the stairs. And he goes with you because he doesn't want to leave you alone in the stairwell. But, yeah, Securian, you get to the second or third, whatever floor he said, to the, like, landing of that floor.
Mm-hmm.
And from the stairs down, he says that's it. That's as far as you need to go. Just straight through that door. He's not that far, but, like, he's kind of around the corner from where you are.
I go, didn't you say you had to not leave Mr. Higgins by himself?
That's what he said. He's like, yes, I'm going to be going back down now.
The door seems locked. Can you please give me the code?
I see you, like, pretending to pull in the door. He says, it shouldn't be. Hold on. And he says something into his mic again.
While he's talking, I say, Sicarian, you're not going to have a better chance than this.
I look at him, and I just, like, I have a completely dead serious look, and then a smile creeps on my face.
Okay. And I nod.
Okay, so when he says something into his mic, you hear through the door, you hear someone else's radio on the other side of the door.
Mm-hmm.
You're like the sound of it clicking on and like someone talking. And he says, "I've just called someone to open the door from the other side. It'll be just a second, I'm sure." And Victor, he's like. Just like he keeps having to push his hair back out of his face.
Cause yeah, he's sweaty. Soaked in sweat.
Yeah, he's like shaking and like just like waiting for something to happen.
Yeah,
yeah. As he says that, I'm like, how far away from me is he?
So here, let me use this tool that we have. To
oh shit!
Draw things.
Or drawn.
Just so we're all, you know, comfortable with how things are going here. So. It's going to be orange, I guess. So if this is, you know, a little spike there. So this is the, like, stairwell. You guys kind of come up here, and the stairwell continues. And then there's, like, a landing. We'll say, like, here. And there's a door onto the floor there. And so he is kind of further down. He's, like, down here. And then Victor, you're in front of him. And then Mr. Sicarian, you're up. So that's what that looks like.
Okay.
Beautiful orange color. Yeah, so you hear he's having a conversation with someone on the other side, like in this vicinity.
As he says this, I'm going to push to the side of the door, I guess, and I'm going to the chicken bone, like or turkey bone rather, I'm going to like pull it out, break it to make sure it's sharp, and then I'm going to be holding it in a stabbing like underneath my hand.
Okay. All right. So you hear footsteps and then you hear the like double beep of like a magnetic lock opening. And then the door starts to open out. And when that happens, the dude, Victor, you see him look at you for a second with like panic and then turn and start to run down the stairs.
Yeah,
and Karen, you hear a metallic, like someone throwing an empty pop can on the floor in front of you, and you look down and you see like a metal canister land on the floor, and then whoever's on the other side goes to like yank the door shut.
Oh, then I try to jump through it, I guess.
Okay,
so I want to try running down the stairs after the guy.
All right, so let's roll some initiative here real quick.
Oh shit!
Oh boy.
What is an issue?
Is this the episode where Hicks just drinks
D8s
and his party dies?
Just straight D8?
It's a D8 plus your dex modifier if you have one.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Oh no.
Okay.
Oh shit.
Wow. So it'll be them, and then I guess Victor, and then Securian, and then that's how we're gonna do. Okay, so NPCs, Victor and Securian. Okay, so I need you, Mr. Securian, to make a physical effect save. There's a loud pop, and there's a flash, and then there's a bang. And I need you to make the save.
So mine's a 12, just d20?
Yeah.
Crushed.
Pass.
Awesome. Okay, so you turn away and manage to, like, cover your eyes so the flash doesn't blind you. But yeah, you're deaf. Like, there's this, like, loud bang, and everything is kind of chaos. And you hear someone shout something on the other side. Like, you hear it through the loud kind of tinnitus that you now may permanently have. You hear, you see the door, the, like, particle board of the door just start to go and, like, shoot. It's getting shot from the other side. But you don't hear it. It's weird because it's just this high-pitched whine.
Sure.
Victor, I need you to make the save, too. Guy has to.
But I got to hit 16 or more.
You get a plus 2. You get plus 2 because you're out of the immediate range of it.
Oh, cool.
I'll roll for Buddy here.
As they shoot the door at him, I take the chicken bone, and I'm going to cut it into my forearm.
Okay.
And I'm going to take the blood that's probably profusely coming out, put it up on my hand, and I'm going to smear it on the, like, window of the door.
Okay. So take a, let's take a D3 of damage if you want enough blood to do that.
Sure.
Take 2 damage. What did you get for your save there, Victor?
Let's find out.
Okay.
You need one more?
I was close, but I failed. Phil, yeah, I need
you
got one more.
You need 16?
No, I can't reroll. I can only
re-roll. Skill.
Skill check, checks. Yeah.
You just keep saying you got that reroll, and then you'll have it.
So the two of you, Victor and the guy, you are you're out of effective range. Like, it's loud and scary, and there's a bang. But, yeah, he's just booking it down the stairs, so he's not here anymore. He's, like, around the corner.
Yeah.
So he's, like, down a floor. And then, yeah, Mr. Scarion, you like, want to wipe the blood on the thing and see if they stop shooting?
Well, I do that, and then I, like, drag my hand down the window as if I've been shot.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I mean, they only fire, like, a couple of bursts into the door and then stop. Do you want to do anything on your turn besides that? Because it's kind of a move, but you want to move again?
Well, I'm just holding action. Like, the second the door opens, I'm going at it. I got the chicken bone ready to go and stuff.
Awesome.
Okay. Turkey bone.
All right, so Victor, what do you want to do? You want to try and chase this guy down?
I put one finger in my ear and I go, mop, mop.
This didn't get knocked out. It's really bad for you.
And then I just book it down the stairs after Mr. Faceman.
All right.
Mr. Faceman.
John Faceman. Make an athletics check. Let's do an opposed athletics check.
Okay.
So we'll do just, like, a standard, like, running down the stairs kind of chase situation where for every success, you need to beat him 3 times or whatever. So every success he gets on a round, you fail. He gets ahead of you one round.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can try to close the gap. So I'll
check
here. So Victor.
Should be it. Oh, yeah. All
right, so he got...
Oh. No!
Motherfucker.
All right, so he's got a good head start on you, and he just starts fucking ripping it down the stairs.
Yeah.
So... Piani, you're back in your room, and you hear a bunch of like booted like footsteps. At first, maybe you think they're coming after you because there's just like lots of dudes running in their military boots.
And I'm like that 7-year-old in bed because I know this because my kid does this. Where like they're playing in their room, but then they hear something, and then suddenly they're like in bed doing that fake sleeping. That's me.
Okay. All right. So you see them less like them than like as people, but you see their shadows passing by the window of your door, and they just like run by. This is a few minutes ago, and you like wait. Nobody comes in, and then you hear some like loud talking, and then there's an incredibly loud banging noise from somewhere, and then some gunfire, like several short bursts. It's definitely on the same floor as you, somewhere away from where you are.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe I'll grab a second wheelchair.
Okay, all right.
And
Well, roll your initiative. Let's get you in on this action.
All right. I'll do that. D8, right? D8. Bam.
Yeah, D8 plus your dex.
Three.
So you're in between. All right. So, Piani. Okay, cool. So, the door, Mr. Scary, the door gets kicked open. And a guy comes in with a rifle, turns it, and where are you when he comes in?
To the side of the door.
Are you standing? Up against the wall. Are you, like, standing up? Or are you?
Well,
like,
I was waiting for someone to come through, and then I'm going to go after him, yeah.
Okay, all right. So he comes through, looks around, sees you, but he gets to go earlier in the order, but you were waiting, so you can go now if you want. I'll bump you up before.
So as the gun comes through, I'm going to try to get on the inside of the gun, like put my body on the inside of the rifle's range.
Trying to stab him.
And then like put my arm over the rifle to try and guard it between my body, and then I'm going to stab him in the throat.
Okay, so I think if you can continue to use the chicken bone as a weapon, but if you get like, I don't know, if you get like a 5 or less, it's just going to break.
Yeah.
It's only got so much durability. But understandable. Yeah, go ahead and make a melee attack there.
So let's see. I have unarmed, I'm 0, primitive weapon 0, and then my dexterity is plus 1. So what do I'm doing?
It'd be strength, not dex. So it's your strength if you have a strength bonus. Your regular attack bonus for
we can't use dexterity here for deftness of blade.
No. had you a blade, perhaps, but no. Chicken bone is a strength game.
Mm, okay, so just what, a d20 then? And I need a 20?
Yes, but also add for their armor, add 5.
Got this shit. 18. BAM! Oh, 18 total. Shit. Oh. Fuck.
Well, he did roll an 18, though, so that was...
It was supposed to be an 18, Jeff.
All right. So you lunge at him, and he sees it coming. He's surprised that you're still alive, but not so surprised. And bats you back. You're still in range; like he's not gonna be able to just like jam the gun in your chest and shoot you. But you're having flashbacks to the last time you did one of these. So it's their turn. He's kind of blocking the door right now. You can hear shouting on the other side of the room. He's gonna grab you and try to like push you into the stairwell so that you can engage and some other guys can come in here and help him.
Okay.
So roll. Let's do an opposed. Let's do an opposed unarm. Just do it as a skill. So 2d6 plus your strength bonus plus unarmed if you have it.
I'm just unarmed 0 and my strength is 0. It's my agility that's plus 1.
So just 2d6. Okay. All right, so he managed to like bum rush you into the stairwell, like mm-hmm. push you back up against the wall, and then you hear like more guys coming towards the door. So the two of you are kind of like moved back into the corner of the stairs, and you're wrestling. But he's got you at a disadvantage. You're kind of like tied up. His gun is now hanging at his hip. It's on one of those like shoulder straps. So he just dropped it and grabbed you with both hands.
Okay.
Okay, cool. So, dude is going to try to run away from Victor.
Do I get to chase on his turn?
You'll chase on your turn.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's trying to just make extra progress. He's one ahead of you.
And Adam, whenever is a good time for a break, feel free to take it.
Okay.
Cool. If you want to do a dramatic.
Yeah, that's a good call.
On an important role or something like that.
Okay, so he's 2d6.
Okay. I think I got this one.
Okay, so he doesn't make any progress on this round. So you're keeping pace with him. And Piani, what are you doing?
I mean, based off of the flashbang and the gun fire, do I know what direction that was coming from, or...
Yeah, they're still shouting and stuff, so...
Definitely. I'm going to head in that direction.
Okay. All right, cool. So it'll take you a couple of rounds to get there, but you're wheeling your way over with your gun in your lap, and you're like hospital guard.
Are there fire extinguishers anywhere?
Yeah, totally.
I want to grab one off the wall and fucking fire it and see if it can get me any extra speed to fucking...
It's rocket speed.
No, we don't need to do that. I'm just fucking around. I will make it.
I just like the contrary of just like this intense scene where Mr. S might die, and like there's this running match between two people, and then it pans back over to Piani, and she's in a wheelchair, turned around, just like not moving at all.
Awesome. Okay, Victor, you want to try and make a roll to?
Oh yeah.
So seven or better, and you.
Wow.
Oh.
Seven or better. No. That's seven. I'm re-rolling it.
Okay.
God.
Oh my god.
Just giving her, but yeah, I mean you're weak as fuck. You have one hit point, right?
Yeah, I've got one hit point.
Oh, that's right. Okay. You've been a 1 HP this entire time.
So, Mr. Sakarian, it is your turn. What do you want to do?
So the gun's at his side. You said, and he's shoved me back.
Yeah, the gun's kind of like you both disregarded it because it's an assault rifle, and this is not a place for it. You do a quick like look up and down because you're a trained professional. He does have a knife. It's in his boot, and you definitely know he knows he has a knife. So that's probably where he's going to go next.
I'm going to go for the knife and then try to stab him with it.
Okay, all right. So let's do a opposed. You can use your dexterity in this one if you want to, because you're not trying to like brute force him. But he's going to use his strength. Ooh. Okay.
Jesus.
It just maintains the lock. Like turns you around, gets your arm behind your back. He grabs the knife out of his boot, and he's gonna try to attack you with the next turn. Actually, that's probably a good place to stop. So he like gets your arm behind your back and like pushes you up against the wall, grabs the knife, flips it over in his hand, and then brings it up. And he's about to stab you in the neck, and then we'll cut to commercial and see what happens after.
Awesome stuff. All right, we'll be right back, guys. Quick 3-5 minute break, and we'll come back and see what happens next on Roleplay Swan Song. See you then.